So we are going to be reading John chapter 11, verses 1 to 25. And rather than it be a monologue by one person, we have four people that are reading. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, it's John chapter 1, verse, and this is literally verbatim. But instead of saying, Jesus said, Martha said, we're getting them to say it. Okay, so if you like to believe, if you like to begin.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus.
Lord, the one you love is sick.
This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples,
let us go back to Judea.
But Rabbi, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you were going back.
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.
Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.
Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.
Let us also go, that we may die with him.
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.
Your brother will rise again.
I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation that you are the resurrection and the life. And we are here today to say, yes, Lord, we do believe this. And we place our life, our hope, our trust in you. Father God, would you come? Holy Spirit, come. And breathe life into these words that I'm about to speak, that it might live. I just surrender to you, Lord God, and ask that you would have your way. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Do you believe? It's a good question for us to think about today. There's so many things that come against us, rob us of our faith. So many tragedies, the threat of war, the threat of COVID, all sorts of things. And all of these things come to rob us of our faith and our trust in God, to lie to us, to make us think that God couldn't possibly care for you as an individual. We see in our passage today that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were all loved by Jesus. It says it. Jesus loved them. So it's not that tragedy came to their house because they were unloved. In verse 1, we hear that Lazarus lived in Bethany and he was very ill. And we're introduced to Mary and we get a bit of a character reference. We're told that she's the same one that anointed Jesus' head with oil and wiped his feet with her hair. And we also hear in Luke that Mary was the one that sat at the feet of Jesus. Remember when Martha was trying to get her to clean up? Jesus said, no, Mary's chosen what's right. And it won't be taken away from her. So we can see that Mary was a very devout person. They were loved. They were devoted to Jesus. Sometimes we can think that tragedy, misfortune, rejection come to those that are not devoted. Well, if I had prayed more, if I had studied more, if I had been a little bit more attentive to the things of God, then maybe tragedy would not have knocked at my door. But our passage tells us that actually, whether you're devoted or not, tragedy can still knock. The first time I was diagnosed with cancer, I'd like to say I was the most devout I'd ever been up to that period in my life. I prayed twice a day. I was a deacon. I was preaching every once in a while. Even churches away from the church I attended used to call on me to come and preach. I felt I was really holy. And then I get diagnosed with cancer. And it seems so unfair. And it must have felt like that to Mary and Martha. And that's why they sent to Jesus, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." Do you think Jesus needed reminding that he loved Lazarus? Or maybe it was just a case of, "Look, prove that you love us, Jesus. Come, come now." Maybe they felt God owed them. I must admit, I think a little bit like that when I was first diagnosed with cancer. In my sense of, "This isn't fair, why me? God, you owe me. Haven't I preached in your name? Haven't I been praying for other people who were sick? You know, this couldn't be happening to me. I deserve better than this, because I'm devoted to God." But no, that was not the right response. The right response is to declare that actually not even this is going to separate me from the love of God. In Romans 8:35, we see, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" And then he goes on to say, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Take a few moments to think about what your own things might be in that. You can perhaps write your own list. If you're listening online, if you're here right now, you're saying that, because I know, because life is messy, and I know that life will have chucked some curved balls your way. And by your still being here, you're saying that whatever that curved ball was, it's not going to separate me from God. You're still here in church. You're still listening online. And you're saying that neither COVID-19, nor trouble, nor death of a loved one, nor disappointment, nor rejection, nor unmet expectations, no injustice, no illness, no sacking is gonna separate me from the love of God. I can see your faithfulness by your very presence, by your listening online, that you've drawn a line in the sand and you said, "No, not even that, whatever those things are, is gonna separate me from trusting God and believing that he loves me and has my best interest at heart." We see when the news of Lazarus's death reached Jesus, he was in a place called Bethabara, beyond the Jordan. And that distance between Bethany and Bethabara is around 15 to 20 miles. It's about a day's journey. And so it would have taken the servants a day to get to Jesus. And obviously a day to get back. But instead of going straight away, Jesus tarries. He waits two more days. How often do we think that God has got to move now? How long, Lord, have I been in this situation? How long, Lord, am I pressing in? What do you mean again? I was diagnosed with cancer two more times. What? I don't believe this. My timescales are not God's timescales. Do it now, do it once and for all. Healed now and forever, and that's it. And yet Jesus tarries two more days. I'm learning that God has his own timescale. He sees the bigger picture, the bigger picture. When Joseph had a dream about being, a senior person and his brother and his mum and dad bowing down to him, it was 13 more years before he ever got near that. And first of all, he had to get thrown down a well. And he could be thinking, excuse me, God, what were those dreams about? You know, and then he gets sold as a slave, and then somebody accuses him falsely of trying to have his way with her. And then he ends up in jail. This is completely not what I had planned. But God has got the bigger picture. And Jesus makes an astonishing statement about that sickness that came upon Lazarus, that this is not unto death, but to the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. How on earth could that be true? That this sickness was somehow going to bring glory to God? That my cancer would somehow bring glory to God? That your rejection, that the death of the loved one? What? How could that be? How could it possibly bring glory to God? Devastating situations that you might face. How could that pain that you've suffered do anything to glorify God? On the 31st of December 2019, we were gathered together in our home having a New Year's Eve party, a bit of a soiree. We had about 8 people there and we had a great time. And we were playing games. If anybody that knows me knows, I'm a quiz mistress. You know, I like my games. And we were having games around the dining room table. We'd just finished eating. And one of my friends got up and he said, I'm feeling a little bit ill. I'm not going to play the next game. So he went off into the other room. And, you know, his wife went to say, you okay? Yeah, it's fine. And she was back in there in the game. And we played. 12:45, we all go into the living room. And we sang praises to God. We worshipped. And we broke bread. Everybody said what they were hoping for. And we prayed. And it was a wonderful time. And off everybody went about 12:10 home to their home with things. We were sat up in bed. And, you know, about 12:20, just enjoying, you know, the afterglow of the party. And we get this phone call. And the phone call said, Sam has just had a heart attack. His heart has stopped. What? We were just shocked. Well, immediately, we're there in faith. We're praying. We're loosing. We're binding. Some minutes go by. They ring back. They've got his heart going again. He's being taken to hospital. The paramedics are there. We're like giving glory to God. We continue praying for another 2 hours. And then it just felt a release. You can stop praying now. So I started singing, we raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. In the middle of that song, the phone rang again. When he had got to hospital, his heart had stopped. He's gone. They can't resuscitate him. Like, what? 2020. That was the beginning of our 2020. How on earth could the death of our loved one be something that brings glory to God? And yet, we had to just believe. Our response was just to say, well, God, we can't see the beginning for the end. We didn't know COVID was coming. We didn't know all that was going to happen in 2020. And we had to, like Job, begin to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Joseph was able to look beyond his current circumstances and say, you know, you meant it for evil, but God has turned it around for good, for the saving of lives. And I can say, we used to meet with Sam and Stella once a month, and we would either be at our house or at their house, have a meal, and then we would all pray for our children. And Sam's children were doing various things. They'd been raised in church, but they were doing their own thing, and they were wayward by now. But Sam's death rallied 4 children. They came back to the Lord. One that had moved out of his house moved home. And they are now so on fire. And they were able to watch as their mother was surrounded by the church as we would go. And we were still in COVID time, so we would walk with Stella, socially distances. We surrounded the house. We prayed for her. And they are now really on fire for God. And I know if you had given Sam the choice, you know, let your death be the catalyst that brings your children back to God, yes or no, he would have definitely said yes. You know, take me now. You know, and Sam had various conditions, and had he survived that and caught COVID, because later the household did catch COVID, he would have had to go to hospital, and he would have had to died alone, but at least he died at home. So this is us looking back to see how can that bring glory to God. It's brought his children in. And sometimes When the storms of life break out, we need to just remember to turn to God. We need to remember to take a stand. You're not alone. God has given us the whole armor, the helmet of salvation. You are a child of God. You can stand. You can put up your shield of faith. And the Bible says it quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. We are powerful. Sam's wife, Stella, having lost her husband on the first day, then COVID hits, then she gets diagnosed with cancer. And then after that, she gets news that her mother is ill and died in Nigeria. And she was weeping, absolutely weeping. And she's like, I cannot take any more. She thought she was strong. She was getting through the grief of her husband. She didn't think she could pray, she could stand. And I remember telling her that day, you don't have to, Stella. We're here for you. You don't have to pray. We will pray for you. We will pray. And we did. We prayed for her. And she tells that story over and over again. She remember when you told me I don't need to pray, you know. And she's with us now every 7 a.m. We have 7 a.m. prayer meetings. And Stella's the first one on there. She leads prayer meetings on a Monday night. And she's cancer-free. And she couldn't go to her mum's funeral because we were in the midst of COVID. But all her children are in the kingdom. And as soon as lockdown was lifted, one of her sons got married to a Christian woman. And it was just all glory to God. So she's come through that all. But just all that to tell you that, you know, she is a devout lady, but tragedy does not keep away. And Jesus said that we would have tribulations in this world. But what I want to encourage us is don't feel that you have to stand alone. Share with the body of Christ. Have them pray with you. If you're listening online, you can email in, telephone in. I've put some prayer request cards on the table there. Ask people to stand with you. Stella couldn't stand. It was just too much for her. But we stood with her. We prayed for her. We took her food. We took her out. We got her out of herself. We were able to surround her. Going back to our story, Jesus heads for Bethany, and Martha is the first one to greet him. There's almost an accusation in Martha's greeting of Jesus. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Basically, she's saying, where were you? Why weren't you here? But if you do the maths, because it says that he'd been dead 4 days, it's one day to get to where Jesus was. Jesus stayed 2 more days. So, and then he comes back one day. So that's 4 days. So actually, Lazarus must have died shortly after the servants were sent out. So when they got to Jesus, Lazarus was already dead. So the extra 2 days, I don't know, probably in terms of Jesus prioritizing, he needed to minister in those extra 2 days. It wouldn't have made any difference if it had come back straight away. Lazarus would have still been dead. So when Martha was saying, why weren't you here? She was basically questioning God's timescales. And how many times do we do the same? We say, Lord, if you had been there, I would not have to face this cancer. I would not have this disability. I would not have this pain, this rejection. If you had been there, God, I would not have had to watch my mother die so slowly. And she died in pain. If you had been there, I would not have been abused. I would not have been raped. I would not have been so oppressed. If you had been there, my husband, my child, my sister, my best friend, my brother would not have died. Where were you, God? It's as if all her disappointment was thrown into that statement. If you had been there. And what does Jesus say to Martha? The same thing he says to us today about all these situations. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. What was he saying? Death is not the end. This life is not all there is. Your circumstances, your situation is not the end of the story. Jesus is asking Martha, he's asking us to look beyond what we can see, to look beyond the circumstances, to look beyond the pain, to look beyond the loss, and to trust him. Trust him to bring life out of a dead situation. In your situation, in your pain, see through to what God is doing through that situation. What you have now is faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Trust that God has not and will not ever leave you. Trust that he's working all things together for your good. In this life, we have sufferings, and we are called to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials that come upon you as though something strange were happening. But rejoice that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed at the revelation of his glory. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that our present sufferings are not comparable to the glory that will be revealed in us. A young boy of 7 years old fell down the stairs and broke his back, and he was unable to walk. He was paralyzed for life. At the age of 17, somebody was interviewing him and said, "Aren't you angry that you've never been able to walk? Aren't you angry at God for not, you know, not having a childhood?" And this 17-year-old boy's statement was, "God has all of eternity to make it up for me." And he was looking beyond his current situation into eternity. And so often we think that this life is all there is, that your world, your circumstances, because we get our eyes so narrow on what's going on, what's happening to us, how I feel. But God is calling us today to look beyond that. For many, the onset of problems of what I call Lazarus moments are the end of their walk with God. They can't get past that God would allow it to happen. I don't understand why God allowed it to happen. To me, cancer 3 times. To Stella, loss of a loved one. Cancer, death of the mum, all in the same year. I mean, I don't understand it. But I do know that when I get to glory, none of that will matter. God has all eternity to make it up to us. For some, it just throws a bit of cold water on their fervor for God. Something happens, an illness, a loved one, rejection, and they pull back. They stop being at all those events. They stop attending church meetings. They stop coming to church. I was like that a little bit when I got divorced because I married a Christian guy, and therefore you're not supposed to divorce because he's a Christian. And I just pulled back a little bit. And it took the death of a friend's daughter to bring me back to Christ. If you're away from God, from church, let this be a call to come back. Come home. If you're listening online and you're thinking, "Oh, I don't know, COVID, I've lost this, I've lost that," come home. Come back. It's true that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but going to church really does help you stay a Christian. I would not have got through all my ordeals. Stella would not have got through all her ordeals if it was not for the body of Christ praying. I was told this morning that a place where I had gone to minister, they heard that I'd had cancer for the 3rd time and they were praying for me. I was just so touched. That's the body of Christ. Don't suffer on your own. The enemy likes to kick you while you're down, while you're in pain. You do have an enemy, by the way. Lots of people try and think there is no devil out there. And the devil isn't going after the people who are already in the camp, his camp. He's going after saints, you know. That's not to frighten anybody, but it's just to remind you that you need to be in the Christ. It's easier to pick off a sheep that is kind of in the next field on its own than a cluster of sheep together. We can lock our shields together of faith and believe and trust God and hold fast to him. So my message this morning is to look up beyond your Lazarus moments. And if you've not had any Lazarus moments, and I think the only one that probably hasn't is that young little boy that's playing down there, because you're all alive and you all love God. And I know that things would have been thrown your way. Look up beyond that to the resurrection and the life. Jesus challenges you. Do you believe this? Do you believe? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for hope. We thank you that this life is not all that there is. Lord God, we look to you. Resurrection and the life, eternal life, is ours. You've promised us and we believe you. Father, we pray that you would seal this word in our hearts, that when those Lazarus moments come, we would look beyond it. And when we look back at our Lazarus moments, we will see your hand and we will know that it is for your glory and that you are able to make all things work together for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I hand back to Mike, I'd just like to take an opportunity to invite anybody that hasn't given your life to Jesus. I'd like to invite you to give your life to Jesus. The Bible says that to as many as received him, he gave them the power to become a child of God. And with the power that comes to live in you, you are able to do all things through him because you will be in him. If you've never, ever prayed a prayer of salvation, this is the time. And we're going to pray the prayer because we don't know anybody that's listening online, whether they too may need to pray it. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I invite you as the body of Christ to pray this prayer with me as well. And let's just believe God for salvation. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So we're going to do just that. So let's pray. Dear God. Thank you. We'll start again. Pray after me. Dear God. We come to you this morning in humility. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you came and died for me. And I ask you to come and be my Lord. Come into me, Lord Jesus. I surrender to you. I cease from being my own boss. And I invite you to be my boss. From this day, I will serve you and look to you for eternal life. You are the resurrection and the life. I believe this. Amen.